Now, could you do me a favour? See the front row there? Could you sit on the front row? Any other children? Anyone like to be called? I need your help. Okay? Now, not now. In a few minutes, there's going to be words on the screen, and I need you to shout them out. Okay? I believe I have a word of encouragement for you tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our down sitting, our out rising, our going out, and our coming in. Our paths are established by you. Nothing happens by accident, Lord. We ask you to give us the ears to hear what you want to say to every single person here. You leave no one out, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you will give us ears to hear what you're saying to us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this too loud? Are you okay? Are you comfortable with it? All right. Okay, Psalm 118. The whole, if you take the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, verse by verse, this is the center verse, Psalm 118, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Everything is hanging. You hang your body on this. Everything is supported by this wonderful word called trust. Amen. And in the Hebrew, that word trust, we'll see it in a second. Verse 5, 118, verse 5. I'm only referring to that at this point. Trust. The Hebrew for it is batah, B-A-T-A-C-H. In the Hebrew, there's no vowels, so vowels are added in order for us to pronounce it. Batach, it looks like. It's B-A-T-A-C-H, to lean. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. It's not learn, it's lean. To put your, it's okay, it's my fault, I should have pointed out to you, brother, sorry about that. To lean. Is that still too loud? Are you okay with that? I can't put it up or down, Dan. To lean. To put your full weight on. To put your full weight on. Making no provision for the flesh. To get to the place where you put your full weight on. Batach. To trust. To put your full weight on. Now I'm going to ask you, what was that word again? B-A-T-A-C-H, batach. Say it after me. One, two, batach. Say it again. Batach. Say it again.
Batach.
That's it. It's Hebrew. It means put your full weight on. Familiarity breeds contempt, as the old saying goes. And we could get so familiar. And I sometimes like to read the Bible as if I've never read it before. Do you ever try that? Read it as if you've never heard it before or read it before, and just simply believe what it says. Don't question it. Don't hold a post-mortem over why it didn't work or why I feel so disappointed at it with the Bible and a promise that seems so relevant and it didn't come to pass in our lives. Don't hold those sort of thoughts in your mind. Just simply believe it. Batach it. Put your full weight on it. Make no provision for the flesh. The arm of flesh will let you down. We live in a world that society is letting, everybody is being let down by society, by government, by banks, by doctors, by everybody. So we must live independent of the circumstances, not ignoring them, not realizing that sometimes God does use them. Of course he does, but he wants us to have a relationship with him that's built solely on trust, to trust him, to The old saying goes, trust him in the morning, trust him in the evening, trust him at supper time. Trust him when things are going great, and trust him when things are going bad. Just to put your full weight on. I hate to keep laboring it, but we have to have it into our heads, and we have to have it down to our spirits, to our inner man. Someone sent me a little text recently, and they said this: how is it we can have so much confidence in what other people, society, governments, banks, and everything says, and so little confidence in what God says? Can I say something, not about you beautiful people, but about myself? Shame on you, Willie. Shame on you. If you have more confidence in circumstances and other things, instead of having total confidence, making no provision for the flesh. I trust God, you know, but just in case he doesn't come through, I've got a fire escape plan. Or I know I can do this. Well, I ain't got a fire escape plan. I ain't got nothing. I'm just trusting God. Means you come to the place where you take him at his word and you say, Lord, I lean totally and completely on you. You are the final court of appeal. I'm not going to use a Greek word. I could stick it in there, but I'm not going to do it. C.S. Lewis said, don't do that because you're trying to promote yourself. So I'm not going to do that, but it is me like. It's me like, it means a final court of appeal. It's Almighty God. Trust in him. We'll not do it, but we could turn over to Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. I pastored for Evelyn and I for 10 years, and then in 1988, suddenly everything changed. The pastorship was gone. The church was gone. It wasn't my church. I was pastoring for somebody else. It was all sold. The property was sold and everything. Everything changed. So we went out on let me put this in. God has a way of operating on us without anesthetic. You're liable to be in a thing for life and you think this is it. And suddenly, unannounced, without prior warning, he suddenly sucks you out of that and he puts you somewhere else. And it's extremely difficult to cope with change. And we don't, as we get older, we don't like change. But God is still a God who uses change from glory to glory. Line upon line, precept upon precept. He's ever learning. We're ever learning, always learning. Amen. So whenever he took us out of that, he kept the baby of the ministry, bastards, in my heart. Even though circumstantially everything went wrong. I got a job. I got another job. But occasionally, I would get a speaking engagement here. Once a month, I might get a speaking engagement there. And I was preaching every Sunday. We're in the building program. We had buses. We had crusades. We had people coming. Everything was happening. And then I was suddenly changed into this position. It would have been so easy to get better. But it's better to get better than to get bitter. And lean on him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on your own understanding. God reserves a right to tell you nothing. And just because he is God, he's in control. He's a final court of appeal. And what he says comes to pass eventually. Now, what's it? 24 years later. One day I was sitting in a little small flat. Or you would call it apartment. But it's actually a flat. In this little flat I was sitting, and Ezekiel opens up, I prepare you stuff for removing, and move for a night, and move, you're going to move. I ran out and I said, Evelyn, we're going to move. Where to? I don't know. I don't know. We moved, how many times was it done? 21 times in 22 years, 42 years. 40 years. We moved, And here we go again. And suddenly I get a call from a dear brother, pastor in Donegal, and asked us to come down and see them. And I'd preached for him a number of times. And he suddenly, the whole thing just opened up. Opened up just like that. Brethren, if you're in a fog, or if you're in a night, or if you're in a wilderness, hold on. Joy comes in the morning. There's the four seasons of the soul. We'll get to the next one in a minute. Spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Spring is when we just get saved. Oh, the sky is blue, the grass is green, the flowers are fantastic. God in every hue, you know, you see him everywhere. It's absolutely a new world. Then the summertime, it couldn't get any better, but it does. The sun's shining. Everybody loves you. They're all rejoicing. We're in for a shock, but I didn't know it. Then the winter, autumn comes. The autumn comes is when there's a few, but it's still not bad, you know. It's not bad. Lovely evenings. The sun goes down. Beautiful sunset in Donegal, if you're ever there. There's a few. Then there's the winter. The dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul, when God seems so far away. And that experience of springtime is just a memory. That joy of the summertime and a whole new life seems to be a thing of the past. And you're in the middle of the winter. It would be false to say to you there's no winter. You who are older in the faith, you know there's a few winters. But that's just right next door to the springtime. And then it starts all over again. God bringing you encouragement. What I want to do tonight is to tell you that we can put our full weight on a God who keeps his word. And eventually, the scripture says all things work together for good. Some bad things God's not in. He didn't bring it. He didn't cause it to come to pass. But he's got this remarkable ability to turn the bad, bring good out of it. Bring good out of it. He didn't orchestrate it, but he can bring good out of it. Hold on. Joy comes in the morning. But God keeps his word. Blessing, I will bless thee. God says, I'll bless you coming in, you're blessed going out, to put your full weight on God. But the next one, please. Hasa. Now, what's Hasa? We're going to try it, aren't we? One, two.
Hasa.
Wait. You got it right. Hasa. You don't pronounce the C. Hasa is to run. Hallelujah. A.M. Top Lady. You should know who A.M. Top Lady was. He was an Englishman. And what was he doing in Ireland? I don't know. But he had to go there. And of course, in Ireland, it rains. And it starts to a real downpour. And he gets underneath this rock to shelter from the storm. And he came home. And you know what he wrote? Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. That the labor of my hands could fulfill thy law's demands. Rock of ages. To hasa is to run. It isn't talking about physically running. It's not talking about that. It's talking about spiritually or your mind getting to the place where you run. You act. When things happen, you don't react. Most people react. You should act when things happen to us. To run for refuge. To run to the rock that's higher than us. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Bata, put your full weight on. These words, we have got the one word, trust. But these nuances, that's what they are. Different meanings. Or different slants to, and to bring out the truth of this great word, trust. One is to lean on, the other one is to run to. And we have the next one, sir. Aman. Aman. Okay, are we ready? See, that says A-M-A-N, okay? One, two, Aman. Try it one more time.
Aman.
That's it. That's it. Some people think that this is faith. This is how you know you have something by faith, by trust and so forth. But this word, Aman, it means to be totally confident. Totally confident. It's almost like the gift of faith. When it operates in your life, you know that you know that you know. It's like above and beyond anything you could be. You're more sure of it than you are of your own name. If somebody came in there and started to say, my name's Joe Soap, I would just smile, give them a fool's pardon, you know. But they can't convince me of that because I know that my name is Willie Dick. A man is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's moving from general faith, as it were, into the gift of faith. It's total conviction, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. You know that you know that you know. It's a man a thing. It's not something you conjure up and try. If you have to try to make yourself believe it, it isn't faith. Faith is not trying to make something happen. Try to make yourself believe it. Faith is knowing without a shadow of a doubt. And God supernaturally, why does he not do it all the time? I just don't know. But it operates like under his jurisdiction. He knows, he gives you. You could be in the middle of trouble. And suddenly you know that you know that you know. And you look like an idiot to your friends. The house is burning down, everything's going wrong, and you're whistling, and you're laughing, and you're walking around, and you haven't a care in the world. You just know. It doesn't make sense. This is all the nuances of trust. It's coming into a place, and it's not doubting in the darkness what you know to be true in that light. It's absolutely a gift from the Holy Spirit. God just supernaturally empties you of doubt and you know. That's only one instance of what trust is like. Let's go on to the next one. You can take notes, all those scriptures. Please, Gaal. G-A-L-A-L. Okay, Gaal. Say it with me again. Gaal. One more.
Gaal.
Say it again. Gaal. That's exactly what it is. It's to roll. It's a picture word. It's a picture word. Do you remember the old chorus? Does anybody remember it? Roll, roll your burdens away. For Jesus has promised to take them all. It's a picture word. It would be like a camel in the desert. That camel standing then, and the man with the burden on his back, he comes up to it, the camel gets down on its knees, and he rolls his burden onto the camel, because the camel is created to carry burdens through the midst of the desert. It has a sufficient water supply, its eyes can adjust to the sand and everything. It's created to carry burdens. Almighty God was created. I know he's our Savior. He died on the cross for us. He shed his blood for us. That's the opening up of his life, of what he has accomplished. And Zoe is a deposit of God's life inside of you. And he wants to bring it out, hallelujah, into every aspect and every facet of our lives. And he is this ability to carry the burden. I want you tonight, as we sit here, to leave the burdens here and trust him to take care of everything. And I didn't see any hooks on the wall out there, so whenever you came here, you hang your burden on the hook, and then on your way out, you picked it up and took it home with you. We can get so accustomed to our burden, whatever that would be, that if we lost it, we'd lose our best friend. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. He is a burden bearer. He is a burden bearer. Roll, roll your burdens away. Roll them onto the Lord here, tonight. And don't pick them up on the way out. Now that's faith. That's trust. That's having a living experience with a loving Christ. what's the next one? What's the next one? Got all. H-U-L, but it's not pronounced like that. It's actually pronounced like cool. Cool. Okay. One, two, three. Cool. Say it.
Cool.
Cool. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, really cool, man. To wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that right? To wait. Hallelujah. To wait upon the Lord. What was the scripture reference there? Could we go back to that? Ah, there you are. Although you say you do not see him, you can't see him, yet justice is before him. And you must wait for him. You must wait. You must trust for him. Although you cannot see him, you must wait for him. The picture is of a lady, present company. I can't go into details with this, but here's a lady about to give birth. Okay? And the things that she used to be able to do, she's no longer able to do it. She's no longer able to run to the shop for the milk. She has to go out now. So, you know, it's all uncomfortable. It's trusting while twisting. It's trusting in the discomfort. It's trusting in the disappointments. I used to be able to do that, and I can't do it anymore. I'm hindered. I'm curtailed in what I can do. It's uncomfortable, this. But that dear lady is prepared to put up with it because she knows it's coming to a birth. This here word, cool, is trusting while twisting. It's trusting knowing I'm prepared to put up with this difficulty, this situation, because I know there's coming a birth. There's coming new life. There's coming a change. Boys, we could open that up in 100 different ways. Fields. And I'm not just talking about a birth in a physical sense. A new beginning. Something that you've never experienced before. We're not into experiences for experience's sake. But our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. His ability to create. No, stop. Which that's down the road. To change things. He hasn't changed. To wait, to put up with it. Because you know there's coming a day when everything's going to change. For 24 years it was awful hard. Whenever I stopped pastoring, I was so relieved. It was like that. You wouldn't understand this term, but it's like the relief of Derry. Whenever they were under siege in Londonderry years and years ago, whenever the troops eventually broke through and they were all let out, or they got out of it, they rejoiced and they made a big day of it, big day, you know. But whenever I stopped pastoring, all the burdens rolled off me. It was absolutely fantastic. And then the next day I felt like I'd lost God. Then the next day I felt like God had left me. Then the next day I felt it was all over. Isn't the devil a dirty rat? He causes you to sin. And then whenever you sin, he's the first one that condemns you. And it was all gone. It was all gone. If ever you've been in a situation like that, there's only one recourse, is to trust him. Trust his heart when you cannot trace his hand. Trust his heart when it appears to be that he's even your enemy. But I love David, you know, no matter what he did, no matter where he was, he complained certainly, but he had this unique ability. I wish all of, that's why it's in the Psalms, so we can get the encouragement of it. He always had a link back to God. Fall out with everybody, but never fall out with him. Don't fall out with anybody, I know that, but it's the illustration just. He is your final source, your final court of appeal. Then one day, I got a telephone call, like I told you about, and everything started to change. I walked, I don't want to go on too long, but I used to drive into this gas station, the Americans, that's an American term, a petrol station. I got petrol every week for the car, and I had American guests in with me, different other guests in with me, and Archie was in, he owned the petrol station, and he always saluted me, you know, he had a great rapport. But then whenever I stopped pastoring, the next day I'm in Archie's with a bag over this, with a strap over here, a big bag there, another strap over here, and a big bag there. And I was giving Archie his mail, his letters. He could hardly believe it. He said, "What's happened to you?" I said, "You got to diversify, you got to diversify." Yeah. And people walking down the road to meet you and they see you, they turn the other way. People saying he's dead, he's gone, he's missed God, it's all over. But there is a God in the sky. No matter where in your life it seems to be something horrific has happened, he has the ability to orchestrate things. Corrie ten Boom, can I use this as an illustration, held up this beautiful thing that was sewn. This side was like a mess. Pieces of thread and pieces of everything. Like a total mess. Oh, sorry, wrong side. There was a beautiful picture. God does work in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. He is his own interpreter. He can work things out, folks. All we've got to do is, during those times, is to roll, to wait. Cool. And the next one, please. Yo-cho. Okay. Like chocolate. Yo-chocolate. Oh. Yo-cho. Okay. Yo-cho. Say it again.
Yo-cho.
That's it. Again.
Yo-cho.
Yeah, that's it. The greatest blight on the Christian life is McDonald's. I don't really mean that, but that's a term I'm just using. It's a picture. You go in there, you shout into a box, you pay your money, and you go around there and you pick up your burger. I mean, 30 seconds. What is he keeping them? They got my minute. 2 minutes ago, they got my order, and I haven't got it yet. We want everything like that. We want everything instant and unknown. Do you remember the time you used to turn off the TV and that wee white dot stayed on for hours, it seemed to be? And if the preacher was coming and you weren't supposed to have a TV because you're a Christian, you remember them days? Well, anyway. And you seen him coming, you'd only turn it off. But that wee dot wouldn't be there, and he would walk in, and the first thing he'd see was that wee dot. Everything used to be, it took time. Took time. Here's a secret. We pray here, in faith, believing, and he starts working at the other end of the line. He doesn't start necessarily working here. He starts orchestrating things, knowing all the period in between, out at the other end of the line. He sets in motion the answer to our prayers. He sets in motion. The problem is we have prayed here and he hasn't answered in 2 minutes, so we move. And the answer comes here and we're gone. You know what they say about people who go away? Far, far off fields look green, and those that go are even greener. Yacha, to wait patiently. Though God slay me, the man said, Job, yet I will trust him. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. He didn't say he would, but his determination, his commitment in his heart, it's a revelation. That if even if God doesn't answer, I will still trust him. This relationship is built on a relationship with God for eternity. Not a quick fix down here. Not when everything works out to what I want. But he works at the other end of the line. Jeremiah preached for 30 years, was it? And he never had one convert. Paul said, I've been delivered. 2 Timothy, I've been delivered out of the paw of the lion. Praise God. Put it in your magazine. Make a set of tapes and sell them at $58 each. Oh, sorry. And you're coming out. We're all going to have the band and the balloons and everything at the gate whenever you come out. Oh, no, he said, did I not tell you? I don't want to be pulled apart by a lion. They're just going to take my head off. We're only playing at it, folks. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. I'll get answers here. Who was it? Haggai, was it? He was 80 years of age before he started his ministry. And his ministry lasted 4 messages, and then it was over. We want to go to Bible school for 4 years to get 80-year ministry. God says, no, that's not my way. You got to die to your way. I had a funeral. I attended a funeral in 1970. The guy wasn't that bad, but he had no hope. He was lost. He was lost. That was my own funeral. Die to yourself and live unto him. We're not in this relationship with Almighty God based upon what's in it for me. It's not what I want. And if it doesn't please me, I'll just forget about it. Nothing like that, folks. It's a commitment that costs you all your dreams, aspirations, and desires. And he's number one. And we die to self. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. It's identification. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not me. It's Christ that's living in me. Isn't that incredible? And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loves you and gave himself for you. It's a whole new deal. Why didn't somebody tell me it was like this years ago? The Lord's had very bad PR. We're going to get saved. And you get saved, your sins are forgiven. And you're a new creature in Christ. Now you've got to go to church. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to pay your tithes. You've got to praise God. You've got to say your prayers every morning, every night. And those things in their place are necessary. But those aren't the main thing. You were created by God, listen to it, to give God pleasure. To be like Adam in the Garden of Eden. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You're created. All things were created for him and by him and through him. Colossians. He is excited because you're a child of God. 8:10, we better fly. And is this the last one, please? This is our friend, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is pronounced rackets. You know, like tennis racket? This is rackets, okay? 1, 2.
Rackets.
Now, you say it first. Rackets. Say it again.
Rackets.
That's it. Now, darling, you said?
Rackets.
That's it. And you're good. Rackets, that's it. Rackets. To attend, to be faithful during difficult times. Remember they were put into the burning fiery furnace? The king says, okay, there's four men in there. They're walking about, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, it said, but it, some says it's like a Son of God, be that as were. It is God turned up in the midst of the fiery furnaces of life. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Thank you very much, brother, for putting that up. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said, answered and said to him, true, O king, listen to me before we go any further. Whenever God comes to you in the midst of the fire, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Whenever God comes to you in the midst of the burning fiery furnaces of life, he brings you out without even the smell of clothes, a smoke on your garments. Totally as if it never happened. With no consequences. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. Broken heart, maybe. Broken bones, never. When he died on the cross, his heart was broken, but every bone was intact. Hallelujah, do you get it? Every bone was intact. And the cross is that we go through the things that happen in our lives. We may have a broken heart, but every bone is still intact. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I see four men loose, walking. They were freer in the midst of the fire. There's no message in that, but if I said it and started it, Evelyn would be coughing to get me to change or to stop. That's our signal. If you hear her coughing, you know it's well, it's the downtime. Walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth, must I say, is like the Son of God. I've learned more in the fire than I... No, put it this way. I've learned more when the mountain was on top of me than when I was on top of the mountain. These are all aspects or different nuances of the word trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust. There's no more. Isn't that right? That's the last one. If we can trust him for something that is the most important thing in our lives, that is our eternal salvation. The cleansing of us from sin and the consequences. Surely. And we're going to trust him also to take us to heaven one day. Surely in all the battles of life and the struggles of life, they're way down the list. And we can trust him in them too. But of course the enemy is a Leonardo da Vinci. He paints pictures. And he's an expert at painting pictures. And you remember Lord Haw-Haw, do you? He got educated at Queen's University. Did you know that? In Belfast. Shame on them. But anyway, where is Ark Royal? None of those things. The enemy has got a foghorn. And he shouts at you. He keeps shouting at you. It's over. God's left you. He doesn't love you. After all, look what you said. Look what you've done. And he magnifies those things. But the same God who started this journey was his plan anyway. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest we can boast. The same God that started this is the same God who will finish it. Someone created this podium. I'm not going down, and that's another message. Did you get anything out of that? The same God, we can trust him when we can't trace his hand. We can lean on him, put our full weight on him. We can run to him. And he doesn't say, now, let's check that out. Based on your performance, I will come to you. He doesn't say that. You know why? Because this is not a, now listen to it, a perfection connection. This is a trust connection. Get that? It's not based upon how good we are, though we should be getting better as we go on. It's not based upon that. It's based upon our trust, our faith, our bata, has a man, cool rackets, all that. This nuance is saying, trust me. Trust me. We need God in this nation. We need God in our lives. Because he is the final court of appeal.